From Iowa Public Radio News, I'm Ben Kiefer. This is The Exchange. Today, we'll listen to my recent conversations with Iowa State University President Gregory Joffre and University of Northern Iowa President Ben Allen. We'll find out about trends in student enrollment and how the decrease in state appropriations is affecting their universities. Also, after the panic over the recent near implosion of the Big 12 Conference, we'll talk about the role of collegiate athletics in the overall financial welfare of our state universities. A look at the challenges and trends facing higher education. First, this news. This is The Exchange on Iowa Public Radio. I'm Ben Kiefer. Today, we talk with two of the presidents at Iowa's three Regents universities. Next week, we're scheduled to talk with University of Iowa President Sally Mason. But first, Iowa State University President Gregory Joffre, who recently had to contemplate Cyclone Athletics without the Big 12 Conference and is now facing a Big 12 without the universities of Nebraska and Colorado. I began our conversation by asking him what he was doing now to ensure the Cyclones aren't so vulnerable to the whims of other universities in the future.
Well, it's, you know, this is an area that so much is out of our control. I mean, we cannot control what another institution does. But I think what we can do is to make sure that we have a strong conference and that the institutions work well together and that competitively it's one of the nation's strongest conferences, and that we negotiate media contracts that are attractive for the members to stay conference members. And so much of that is the responsibility of the conference commissioner, but ultimately, from Iowa State's perspective, it simply is to be a good conference member and support the conference and be a good partner in all of the discussions and negotiations that occur. And we've been that in the past, and we'll continue to do so.
When Nebraska dropped out, there was really quite a panic across the state when this news broke earlier in June. Some of our listeners may not understand how belonging to a certain collegiate athletic conference can make such a difference to an academic institution like Iowa State University.
Well, ultimately, it's visibility. When you're in a strong athletic conference, it provides enhanced visibility for the institution nationally and locally. And that visibility is important in recruiting students, in many ways, in national recognition in the minds of people who really don't know a whole lot about higher education institutions, but they do follow intercollegiate athletics. It's also a relevant factor in the minds of donors and benefactors. Ultimately, people and organizations are very often judged by the associations that they belong to, the other people or organizations that they affiliate with and are associated with. And so when you're in an athletic conference, it does provide sort of a measure of the institution through the other institutions that you're associated with.
When we were contemplating the possible implosion of the Big 12 a few days ago, it looked like Iowa State University might be homeless, so to speak. Have you ever had a conversation with University of Iowa President Sally Mason or anyone connected with the UI about the possibility of membership in the Big Ten?
No. If you looked at what the Big Ten was interested in when there had been discussions about expansion, those discussions have been very widespread for the last couple of, last year or so. You know, the emphasis really was on, has been on increasing the value of the Big Ten network and the media contracts and exposure. And ultimately, that really translates into how many new television viewers can you bring to the table. You know, in that context, Iowa State, would not bring many. And that's why our emphasis has continued to be on keeping the Big 12 conference together, because that's where we belong, that's where we want to be.
Mm-hmm.
And
So there was no thought in your mind that perhaps University of Iowa President Sally Mason could somehow help out ISU by getting it an invite to the Big Ten?
No.
The Des Moines Register reports that Iowa's two U.S. senators are asking Big Ten conference officials to disclose expansion plans as well as financial information about that league's cable TV network. And in their letter, Senators Grassley and Harkin question whether the Big Ten's expansion efforts square with its nonprofit status. And here's a quote. The invitations to join the Big Ten seem to be extended for the sole purpose of enhancing the financial bottom line that television contracts, marketing, and promotional activities will bring member institutions. It's exactly what you were talking about, President Joffre. What are your concerns about how all these big money collegiate athletics square with your nonprofit status?
Well, I think a lot of university presidents scratch their heads on that issue. Athletics is very, very clearly big business, and it's very, very big business in some institutions. You know, it is important that we always keep in mind that our primary purpose is really educating students and advancing knowledge. And there is an important role for intercollegiate athletics in higher education, but it's important that it not get out of balance.
Mm-hmm. So how do you see that balance being restored to a healthier relationship?
That's not easy, and it's not a clear path forward. I think, as the Knight Commission report commented, it's important to have good transparency so that everyone understands, what the financial issues are and the impact, and particularly how athletics budgets have changed over the years in comparison to how academic budgets have changed in institutions. If you look at athletics budgets in particular, their growth has been tied to contracts associated with television, either networks like the Big Ten Network or simply contracts with conventional networks. And those contracts have been increasing at a substantial rate, certainly more than funding has for the academic component of our institutions.
Do you see that trend continuing then?
Well, there's nothing yet to suggest that it would change. It's really tied to the appetite of the citizens of our great nation for entertainment, and intercollegiate athletics is judged as one of the great entertainment venues for our nation.
Upon reflection, in preparing for this interview, it comes to mind that you are the veteran on the block when we look at the presidents of the state universities in Iowa. You became ISU's president 9 years ago. At that time, Mary Sue Coleman was the president at the University of Iowa. Bob Koob was at the University of Northern Iowa. I'm wondering how this working relationship now, your teamwork, is different than the teamwork you had with Bob Koob and Dr. Coleman.
Well, first of all, what we have here in Iowa is a great higher education enterprise. What makes it terrific is the fact that we have a single board of regents overseeing the three public universities, and a board that has historically insisted that the universities find ways to work together and coordinate activities and cooperate on as many fronts as possible. That means that we do. And if you look at the range of programs which we, are cooperative among our institutions, it's considerable. And a lot of that cooperation occurs at levels throughout the organization. Our business and finance vice presidents meet regularly. They're constantly on the phone with each other, exchanging information. Likewise, our provost, our chief academic officers, a lot of that interaction is delegated throughout our institution, where it works very, very effectively.
Has that cooperation become tighter, worked more in concert in the 9 years that you've been president?
I think it has. I think the budget challenges that we've had to deal with has driven it to be a tighter coordination and cooperation.
How are you positioning yourself I guess, in some cases, to compete with where your programs overlap or complement the institutions, the other institutions' offerings?
Well, we have, you know, each of our institutions is a little bit different and some ways very different. And we, you know, appeal to different students. And it is true that we do compete. If you look at where many of the students come here, where else they also apply, many also apply to the University of Iowa and Northern Iowa. But we also recruit many, many students who don't apply to our sister institutions. And ultimately, you know, every student has to make that decision based on what's best for them, you know, their feelings about the institution, their impression of the campus, and the course of studies that they want to pursue.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we've been doing extremely well in student recruitment and enrollments, and we're going to have another banner year of this coming year. And it's ultimately because of the great educational experience that we offer our students and, you know, the value that students see in what we offer to them. And it's also a reflection of, I think, how well we communicate that and we market it to prospective students and their families.
Mm-hmm. What areas of recruitment are most successful growth areas for ISU?
Well, right now, engineering. Engineering is just attracting students from all across Iowa and the Midwest. It's a destination major. I mean, we have a number of engineering majors, but the engineering college is a destination college. We've seen some tremendous growth in enrollments in our College of Agriculture and Life Sciences, our College of Human Sciences. They've been working very, very hard to get the message out about the great programs that they have, and it's really been paying off. So, you know, there are special areas where we have a lot of uniqueness, and we build on those.
Back to the idea of differentiating between Iowa's state universities, Ben Allen of UNI says UNI wants to become even more of a leader in educating our teachers. So, is that an area that ISU can seed more to UNI?
You know, we have a special emphasis here at Iowa State in science and technology, broadly defined. So in preparing students who want to go on to be science teachers or teachers in the agricultural fields, but certainly science and technology, math, you know, that fits directly our mission and where our expertise is very, very high. And so if you think about areas that need to be a focus for Iowa State, certainly training the next generation of science and math teachers certainly fits our mission very, very well.
That's Iowa State University President Gregory Joffre. Coming up when we continue our conversation, the impact of state funding cuts and the growth of sponsored funding at Iowa State University. That's just ahead when we continue. This is The Exchange from Iowa Public Radio News. You're listening to The Exchange on Iowa Public Radio. I'm Ben Kiefer, and today a conversation with Iowa State University President Gregory Joffre. The region's universities have all seen significant reductions in state funding over the past several years. I asked President Joffre how much state funding had been cut at ISU.
I don't have the exact figures in front of me, but it's of the order of $60 million that we've lost in our state appropriations over the last 2 years, and mm-hmm. It's about roughly 20%. That's a very, very significant reduction, especially when you consider that, you know, 75 to 80% of our budget is tied up in people, as it is in most organizations. And so it really means we've had to significantly streamline our operations. And
Streamline in what way?
Well, streamline the administration. We've had to reduce positions. We've had to increase responsibilities. And, you know, that gets to be a problem because people are working hard, you know, more than 40 hours a week, but certainly full work days. And so you really have to decide what can you do less of or not stop doing, and replace that with responsibilities in other areas. And that has had to occur all across the university with lots of different individuals. We've, in many cases, reduced our course offerings, focused on trying to reduce courses that have relatively lower enrollments. and just have had to examine the university from top to bottom to find ways to be more efficient. And
how much more streamlining is possible?
I don't think a lot. I mean, we have pushed very, very hard. I don't think a lot could occur without radically changing the nature of the university and the kind of institution that we are. And we don't want to do that. I mean, we're one of the nation's premier land-grant universities, and we want to stay that way. We want to be a university that fulfills all aspects of our mission extremely well, educating students, putting them on the path to great careers, advancing knowledge through research, particularly in areas important for Iowa and for our nation, and, of course, extending that knowledge across the state through our great Iowa State University Extension Service.
Recently, the University of Iowa especially has had a lot of media, unwanted media attention focused on the issue of student conduct, or should I say misconduct. And at ISU, since the student riots during the Visha celebrations early in your tenure, Dr. Jofre, we haven't heard too much about student misconduct at ISU. What are your strategies there to make sure that student alcohol abuse, misconduct, doesn't become a bigger problem at ISU?
Well, first of all, we have great students. I deeply believe that. And we're very proud of the students who come here to Iowa State University, their work ethic, their values. But on the other hand, we do have to make sure that we work hard to create an environment that allows those students to excel and maybe not stray into directions that we don't want to see. But also, we have to stay right on top of situations. And when we do sense that something might be going awry or needs to be addressed, we try to develop strategies for addressing issues before they might become bigger problem.
Mm-hmm. How do you, as an institution, try to de-emphasize the culture of alcohol that seems so prevalent and so problematic in higher ed these days?
Well, it's that's a challenge for higher education institutions everywhere. It's there's a lot that you can do with education and trying to make sure students understand the negative impacts of excessive alcohol consumption. To be honest, that only goes so far. It's important to do that, and it will certainly reach and influence some students, but you can't address the entire problem solely on the base of educational programs. I think it is important to have a range of other activities for students to be engaged in on university campuses. And at Iowa State, we have this terrific intramural program where about, I think, 95% of our students participate in intramurals. We have over 700 clubs and organizations that students get involved with, and they join, they participate in, and those keep students busy and occupied. But nonetheless, there still are many, many students who like to relax over the weekend, and sometimes alcohol gets involved at too high a level. And fortunately, we haven't had as much of a problem as some other universities around the country. But nonetheless, we have had our share of problems and issues, and we just need to be diligent in continuing to work to make sure things don't become bigger problems.
Is the alcohol problem on university campuses these days any different than when you, Dr. Jofre, were an undergraduate, say?
Yes, I think it is.
In what way?
Well, I just think back to my own undergraduate experiences. Certainly there were examples of excessive alcohol consumption among students I knew and some problems that created. But I think that young people have changed in those 50 years or 40 years, however long it's been. I think, arrive at college perhaps more independent than they did in my days.
And finally, we very often, and we have during the course of this conversation, focused on the challenges facing higher education and ISU. But I'd like to finish up, President Jofre, by having you perhaps tell us a good news story that's happening on your campus right now.
Well, there's lots of good news. Certainly, the enrollment picture looks very, very strong for the fall semester with a very, very large entering class, which more than anything else really indicates that prospective students and their parents continue to see a great value in an Iowa State University education. Another area that's just fantastic is an area that we call sponsored funding. This is money that we receive from various sponsoring organizations who want to support projects and initiatives at Iowa State. Much of that comes from the federal government through agencies like the Department of Defense, Department of Energy, but it also comes from corporations and various foundations.
These are grants.
These are grants and contracts, basically, and we are up 40% compared to the amount of money that we brought in last year, 40%. And these days, a 40% increase in any financial indicator is just phenomenal. And it's really because of the hard work of our faculty and staff and going out and getting these grants and contracts to support projects, and also a recognition of the excellence of the work that we do here that causes these various organizations to want to send their money here rather than other places. And, of course, that money is spent here in Iowa, and so it really helps stimulate and grow Iowa's economy.
President, go ahead.
Before we finish, there's one topic that I'd like to just put out in front of your listeners that I think is very important, and it doesn't necessarily deal with Iowa State University in particular, but ultimately it's what's really the greatest issue facing higher education in our nation, and it really relates to, in many ways, to the future of our nation. For a very, very long time, the United States has been recognized as the clear world leader in higher education, where young people from all around the world come to the United States to receive undergraduate degrees and graduate degrees. And this higher education enterprise has contributed so enormously to the success of our nation through innovation, through discoveries that occur in research labs and universities that are then translated into economic development and jobs eventually. All of that is now under threat by decreasing support for higher education institutions across the United States and from the rising influence of higher education institutions in other countries around the world. I just came from a meeting in Washington, D.C., in which the presidents of some of the top universities in the country, including Iowa State, sat around the table discussing these topics. But I think that the key question is, how can the United States retain its leadership role in the higher education arena going forward? And that leadership role is so important for the future success of our nation.
And what is your answer at this point to that question?
Ultimately, it has to be through support for the enterprise from all levels of federal and state government, but also from the populace of our country. And that support has been shrinking over certainly the last couple of decades. And other nations are rising to the challenge and certainly are on the path to, over the coming years, are working very, very hard to catch up and eventually surpass.
President Jofre, thank you for this conversation. It's been a pleasure, and thank you for making time for us.
Thank you, Ben.
Iowa State University President Gregory Jofre. Coming up, we talk with the president of the University of Northern Iowa, Benjamin Allen. That's when The Exchange continues on Iowa Public Radio. This is The Exchange on Iowa Public Radio. I'm Ben Kiefer. And we're talking with the presidents of Iowa's three Regents universities. And continue now with the president of the University of Northern Iowa, Benjamin Allen. I spoke with President Allen about reductions in state funding over the past few years and asked what he thinks are the key factors driving the trend.
Well, I think there's a number of drivers, but one key driver in the last couple of years, of course, has been the state of the economy. And that's more cyclical, but still a very important factor. I think over time, another factor is the competing uses of state funds for medical care, Medicare, et cetera. And so I think you both have the long-term trends of competing uses and the cyclical issues related to the recession.
Mm-hmm. And how specifically has UNI positioned itself with these smaller state appropriations, the trending towards smaller appropriations?
Well, we have done a number of things. I should note first that this particular trend has hurt us a bit more than Iowa State and Iowa, I would argue, for a number of reasons. First of all, the state funds are a larger percentage of our total budget. And secondly, the average incomes of the families of sending students here are lower, so we have less flexibility in terms of tuition increases to make up that difference. But what we did the following. One, we realized that we had to find ways to save money, cost containment, and secondly, find ways to enhance our revenue. So I developed a task force for each of those areas 2 years ago. I chaired each one of those to develop strategies to accommodate this new environment. That led to a number of ideas, both on the efficiency side and on the revenue side. So what we ended up doing was three things: trying to be more focused, make sure we use our money in our top priorities, and we had a process to identify, for instance, academic programs that were highest value, the greatest quality, and we would focus our money on those areas. Secondly, we identified ways to become more efficient, reducing administrative costs. You might have heard that we combined two colleges. That was driven really for programmatic reasons, but it has the impact also, I think, of being more efficient. We are combining some departments. I eliminated one division here on campus with the purpose of being more effective and being more efficient. So that's going on. Third, we're trying to be more entrepreneurial, increasing the number of grants that we compete for and finding ways to enhance our ability to attract out-of-state students, which is a huge issue for us since we're predominantly serving Iowans.
Mm-hmm. A couple of points I want to pick up on there. Speaking of the greater efficiencies that you've been working at over a number of years, I'm curious about your thoughts on the system at the University of Wisconsin, the system there where the main campus is tied to nine universities across the state. Human resources are shared. There's a streamlining of resources that has worked, it seems, well in Wisconsin. Have we reached the point in the state of Iowa that we should consider such a system for our state universities?
I don't think so. But having said that, I think we can do more in terms of doing things collaboratively, both in the backroom areas and also in providing academic programs. As you well know, the Board of Regents has given us strong directives, and so has the state government, to become more collaborative with each of the other two universities. So we are doing more in areas of information technology, human resources, and we can do more in that area. But if you look at the University of Wisconsin system, the part that doesn't quite make sense is that they have a fairly large central bureaucracy in addition to that system. And so I think you have to be very careful not to pick up the extra cost and the slowing down of decision-making that is probably connected to that additional bureaucracy. But mm-hmm. There are more things we can do together.
Mm-hmm. Let's go back to another point that you mentioned about the nature of the enrollment at the University of Northern Iowa. I understand about 90% of the enrollment at UNI comes from within the state. High school graduating classes in Iowa are getting smaller. So how do you maintain current enrollment when your pool of potential students is shrinking and more of them also are choosing to spend at least 2 years at community colleges where there's dramatic growth?
Well, you anticipated one of my responses. Not only is the market shrinking, but the competitors are growing. I think one thing that we have been trying to do here for the last couple of years is, first of all, how do we become more effective in increasing the yield for getting in-state students? That is one thing which we need to increase our marketing. We have to look at the disciplines that we offer here. And so that's an ongoing project.
Mm-hmm. So sorry, President Allen, you mean, just to be clear, you mean having Iowans, more Iowans attend UNI rather than go out of state for their education?
Exactly. And we are competing against everybody else in the sense of both Iowa State and Iowa and the private colleges, but mm-hmm. private colleges and universities throughout the country. How do we get more of those students to stay in state? And many of those are the top students. Secondly, we have to become more aggressive, more effective in attracting out-of-state students, and those out-of-state students include international students. We have about 450 international students now. We'd like to double that number, and we think there's some opportunities, but it's not easy. It takes a lot of work. It takes probably some changes in how we market the university and some of the programs that we offer.
Mm-hmm. With the growth of community colleges, Do you view community colleges more as competition than you would have in years past?
Well, actually, it's almost to a tipping point where we view them more as partners, because we have about 35-40% of our students coming from transfers from community colleges. There's a book written by 10-15 years ago called Co-optition. It really kind of captures how I think about community colleges. Much of the time, we talk about how to better partner with them. We have admission programs, partnerships with 7 or 8 of those community colleges. We'll have those for all those in the near future. But at the same time, we have to develop strategies to how do we get some of those freshmen coming back here to UNI, and where we can argue that we have a very high value educational opportunity for them.
Mm-hmm. Of course, one of the big draws of community colleges has been, well, also in our down economy, that you can pay much less tuition than at a state university. How are you addressing that issue, the difference between your tuition and that of a community college?
Well, we can't do much in the short term. We can examine, of course, every year we have tuition proposed for in-state students, and I think this year we have to be a bit more creative do we follow the same mode of following the other two universities, for instance, in terms of the level of in-state tuition. But I think we also have to be more convincing about the value that we add that is not at the community colleges. We have more opportunities outside the classroom. Our faculty members are different in terms of research-based type of teaching. But we need to improve that communication of this extra value. It's a difficult challenge because in these tight times, as you noted, cost becomes a much more important factor. That's true in education. That's true in business, and you have to work through that.
If you've just joined us, I'm talking with University of Northern Iowa President Ben Allen. And you mentioned, I think 450 was the figure you gave for international students at the University of Northern Iowa, and you hope to double that in the years to come. How will you be trying to double that? Are you targeting specific countries? I know the University of Iowa, for instance, and ISU have been looking to China for an increase in international students.
I think it is important to be strategic. You can't travel the world and try to pick up a few students here and there. What we've been doing is signing agreements with particular universities in certain areas of the world, where we can get a number of students from one institution, either in a partnership with a university there or through high schools in particular parts of the world. We are trying to be strategic. It's an issue of what do we have to offer that is attracted to that particular country. I think Iowa State in particular is very attractive to many Chinese students because of the science and technology orientation at that university. We have to kind of ask ourselves, what do we offer here that would be a particular value of certain countries and their students?
Mm-hmm. And so when you ask yourself that question, what answers do you have so far? What countries do they match up with?
Well, a lot of our international students find our business program very attractive here, in particular accounting. We have a very strong accounting program. We have a very fine business program. And business is an international language. And so because of the reputation of our accounting program in particular, we're able to attract a number of students in that area. We also have had a history of attracting some outstanding music students. We have a very strong music school here, and we also have a long history with particularly Russian students to come to our School of Music. So we have certain areas that, because of the reputations, we can attract international students.
As you mentioned before, it's no secret you're also competing for students with Iowa State University, the University of Iowa. They are two institutions that are larger student bodies, more monies, larger campuses. They tend to garner more attention as well. So how are you positioning yourself to compete with the two larger state universities, or I guess you might say complement those institutions?
Well, I think we both compete and complement, but what we are stressing at the University of Northern Iowa is the following. First of all, we are and have been basically an undergraduate educational institution. We have some outstanding graduate programs, but they are few in number. We only have a couple doctoral programs. So one thing that we talk about is the fact that we stress undergraduate education. We stress personalized learning. And we have smaller class sizes. We have faculty who actually do teach and interact with students on a regular basis. So we push that very hard. Secondly, we want to identify ourselves with a couple priority areas. One, of course, is pre-K through 12. Since I arrived here 4 years ago, I've been pretty consistent about the fact that we need to be the go-to place, at least in terms of educational institutions, for pre-K through 12 issues. And we need to establish a national reputation, stronger national reputation in that area, so that we can be distinguished from the other two universities. Having said that, we do offer a broad range of programs, over 100 undergraduate majors and minors, because you need to have that comprehensive offering. But there are ways to distinguish ourselves, one by being more undergraduate focused, and secondly, having an area like pre-K through 12 that we will stake our claim in the ground as the go-to place here in the state of Iowa.
President Allen, do you see any areas where UNI will enlarge its specialty offerings, perhaps beyond liberal arts?
Well, I think one area that we have here that some people don't know about is industrial technology. And it's an applied type of engineering program, and that has a strong connection to industry, both in northeast Iowa but throughout the state. And so I think there's some opportunities to get some partnerships with industry to grow those programs.
There have been...
We have a process, as all universities, to continually review where our strengths are, where we need to add majors, and so that's an ongoing process.
I'd like to turn to focus a little bit on athletics, President Allen. There has been some pressure from lawmakers and the Board of Regents for the three Regents universities to reduce reliance on state appropriations for funding of athletics. And I understand the University of Northern Iowa relies more heavily on that funding than the other two state universities. How much of the athletic budget comes from state appropriations?
Approximately 50%. It's a bit less now than it was. It is correct that, first of all, our athletic budget is much smaller than the one at Iowa State and much, much smaller than one at Iowa. But it is true that of the percentage of that athletic budget, we do have a larger proportion coming from state, or I should say from general funds, which both tuition and state funds. It's an issue that has come up officially for Board of Regents, as you know, a resolution passed that we need to come back in September to provide plans on how we either substantially reduce the amount of state funds and general funds going to athletics or eliminate that the use of state funds. It is an issue with us because I'm not convinced that if we did reduce that funding, if we lost Division I athletics, it would have a major impact on some of our recruiting efforts for in-state students and students in general. As you might remember, we got a lot of visibility this year, for instance, from beating Kansas in the men's basketball tournament. We think that can be parlayed into more students and more recognition, but it's a very important question, particularly in the time of a shrinking state budget. It's a legitimate question to ask, how much money should we be spending from general funds?
So you think an athletic program, the high-profile basketball team of the University of Northern Iowa and how well they did this year has an effect on recruiting students who are not necessarily athletes?
That's my premise. Now, you will have others that will debate that. I think there's a couple pieces to it. One is to have a successful athletic program, and we have that, quite honestly. But secondly, and maybe more importantly, that the athletic program is managed correctly, that it reflects the values of the university, and that the students are, in fact, students. If you look at our graduation rates, you look at the fact that Josh Mahoney, one of our football players, won the Walter Byers Award. There's only been one other person in Iowa, a student from Iowa, University of Iowa, that's won that award. So I think it has had both pieces. One, how well you do, but also how do you run the operation for athletics? And third, what's the cost of doing that? And all those things are being looked at.
With the cut in appropriations for the athletic budget, will you have to cut actual athletics programs?
Well, I don't know yet. We are still looking at those questions. As you probably remember, we had a substantial reduction in the budget of athletics about 2 years ago, and it led to the elimination of the baseball program. I think there's two things that you have to find out. One is, can we get more revenues? And there are different ways of doing that. Do we add another Division I football team to the football schedule, for instance? Have we fully exercised our marketing potential for this athletic program? Then you have to look at the cost side. And one of the things that came out of the Knight Commission report this past week was the recommendation that the number of football scholarships for the bowl series teams would be reduced from 83 to 75 or 73. We need to look at that same thing from the football championship series. Do we have more scholarships there than we need? So once you get through those revenue enhancement and those general cost reduction things, then the question is, if you still can't make it work, what do you cut? And you can't cut very much because of one, Title IX issues. You can't cut women's sports very effectively. And we are down to almost a minimum number of athletic teams required by the NCAA. So I think we still have one team or two that we could cut if we decide to do that, but if we're getting close to the minimum number required.
This is The Exchange, and if you've just joined us, I'm speaking today with University of Northern Iowa President Benjamin Allen. The University of Iowa, President Allen especially, has had a lot of media attention focused on issues of student conduct and misconduct. How is that situation at the University of Northern Iowa? To what degree do you also share some of those problems?
I think every university shares that problem. It's just a matter of degree. I think we probably don't have quite the record that the University of Iowa does in the area of alcohol abuse, but we have a level that's unacceptable. Like most universities, we have different programs to educate, to enforce the regulations, et cetera, to minimize that particular issue. But it's one that is a continual problem. This is on alcohol abuse. It's on sexual assault. All those areas that are not acceptable still requires a lot of work.
To what do you credit your success, then, in managing student conduct issues at the University of Northern Iowa so that it's not in the headlines?
Well, first of all, and we do it today, for instance, when we have orientation for new students, these issues are discussed when the parents are with the students. So I think that's an important factor. We have a number of programs, of course, to help students make sure that we intervene at an early stage if there is some evidence there are some problems. I think we have a very effective program in our residence halls, for instance, with the RAs that help monitor that for us and help students before it gets out of hand. We have a Department of Public Safety that is very sensitive to those issues and probably can intervene at times when they should intervene. And so I think we just have a number of programs that collectively help minimize the issue. But again, having said that, we need to do more.
Couple final questions for you, President Allen. The University of Northern Iowa, of course, historically has been known as the college that specializes in education and educating a large percentage of Iowa's teachers way back to the time when it was known as the State Teachers College. But given now that so many school districts have been facing funding shortfalls, laying off teachers, how are you advising or your faculty, how is your faculty advising graduates or you yourself to face this tough economy and the tough budget times for Iowa schools?
Well, first of all, I tell them that, I sincerely believe this, that we are in tough times, but it's more kind of reflection of the economic recession, which is a cyclical issue. If you look at the number of teachers, pre-K through 12 in the state of Iowa, we have a large number who will be retiring in the next 10, 15 years. There's going to be a lot of opportunities. There remains, by the way, strong demand for teachers in special education, math and science, and music. And so there, even during these tough times, there are some opportunities, very strong opportunities. Secondly, we have many of our teachers leave the state of Iowa to those areas where there's a lot of demand because of population growth. So even though right now there's some laying off of teachers, we believe that's a cyclical issue. In fact, I know it is, and that there's going to be a lot of long-term demand.
We've been discussing for several minutes the challenges facing the Regents University's President Allen, and I'd like to finish up this interview by turning to a brighter side and having you perhaps tell us the best good news story happening on your campus right now.
I think there's a couple best good news stories, as you phrased it. One is that the demand for you and I remains strong. We've had 4 years of growth of student enrollment, and not only are the numbers getting larger, the average ACT score is getting higher. That's very good news. Secondly, we have some new leadership on campus that is providing some exciting and challenging things for us. We have a new provost who's a very strong leader, Dr. Gibson. We just hired the new dean of education, and Dr. Watson. So we have a lot of good, strong leadership that will be very important as we go through these challenging times. But most importantly, we just have great students coming here, and they are eager to learn, and they are very serious about their education, and that's what excites me on a day-to-day basis.
President Ben Allen of the University of Northern Iowa, thank you very much for this conversation.
Oh, thank you.
That's Benjamin Allen, president of the University of Northern Iowa. Next week, we continue our conversations with the presidents of Iowa's Regents Universities when we talk with University of Iowa President Sally Mason. The Exchange is produced by Catherine Perkins, Jeff Schmidt, Alex Hoyer, and Lindsay Moon. Technical support from Julie Englander. Podcasting and on-demand audio of The Exchange available at iowapublicradio.org. And we always welcome your comments and questions about this program. You can contact us anytime at theexchange@iowapublicradio.org. Our theme music was composed and performed by Dan Knight. The Exchange is a production of Iowa Public Radio News. I'm Ben Kiefer. Thanks for joining us.